Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Shark Passes Gallery. Yes, I'm Ann Eller, and yes, I have a very special guest for you here today, Pam Oakes. Yes, she repairs cars. Yes, she's written books about repairing cars. Yes, she believes in helping people that are clueless on how to do some of the things that we need to be doing for our cars. Great time for her to be on with us here today because it's coming up on vacation time, and you're going to want to get that that trusty steed ready to go on the road. So it's my very big honor to have Pam Oakes all the way live from Fort Myers down there in Florida. How you doing today, Pam?
Great. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. You know, I was reading over your information that you have on that was sent to me. Very impressed. My goodness, you are a busy woman.
Yes. I don't like sitting still, that's for sure.
And very interesting. I thought it was very interesting, just to give the folks a little background about you. You actually were in journalism and then hung it up and went to car care. Your grandfather, what was it, your great-grandfather was into car repairs?
Yes, actually, he gave me my first automotive lesson. It was my great-grandfather. He taught me how to set the choke on his 1969 Plymouth, the car I still have today, and my grandfather and, of course, my dad and myself. My dad and I worked together for years. Had a great time working with my pop.
That's very cool. Now, originally you're from Detroit.
Yes, the east side.
And I understand, I love one of the stories in here that you went outside one day and there was a strike going on and y'all could breathe.
Yes, back in the very, very early 70s, the Big Three had one of their little strikes. And, of course, the air had a chance to clear. And I remember going out, it was late spring, early summer, and I said, oh, my God, what is that smell? And my father says, that's fresh air. And I'm like, oh, it's making me sick. It's a true story. I went back in the house. I'm like, ah.
Give me some good polluted air to breathe. My lungs are used to it. That's pretty cool, Pam. I tell you what, I'm so impressed. But I'm more impressed am I. Here you have this big shop down there in Fort Myers. I mean, I can't imagine. What made you decide that you wanted to do this, or did you take over your dad's shop? Or
no, actually, I got out of journalism because my true love, of course, was with automobiles. And, you know, I think I was spending more time at car shows than I was actually in the newsroom, and I says, that's it. I says, I got to do what I love, and cars, that was it. So I worked for somebody for a couple of years, and I says, you know, I can do this better. So I opened my own shop, and it was just me as a tech. I was a writer, I was a bookkeeper.
Sorry,
that's
Pam.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I was a bookkeeper. I was everything, all wrapped into one, and I had 7 bays, I was renting the place, and I said, wow, I said, will I ever fill this? And one by one, you know, the reputation grew. I hired a couple of people on, and then I brought my dad on board with me. My dad, he was kind of semi-retired at the time and handled all the tires, which was great. He was a tire manager, and I worked on the cars, and I just built a place, a 12-bay shop, and that's where we are today. And I'm having a wonderful time.
Well, you know, and I was reading some of the things that the people that work for you, you've come up with this kind of creative idea where those that want to come in early can work early and get off if they've got kids to pick up or a ball game or something. And then you've got those that like to work late.
Yes.
Can stay late. So your shop, I'm presuming, is open even later.
Yes, actually, I have 2 shifts. And it's for those who are early risers. And I have the B shift, which we call, for those people who like to sleep in a little bit more and they're more productive and they enjoy working later in the afternoon and having their evening time with their family or for whatever activities. And basically, it's twofold because it also keeps them out of the rush hour traffic.
Absolutely. And I'm sure people love that aspect because they could drop it off early and then come by and pick it up at the end of the day. So,
Definitely.
And they don't have to get off work or something to be able to pick up their car.
Exactly.
That is terrific. Now, another thing that I was reading about, and just for the record, folks, if you want to check out more about Pam Oakes, you need to go to her website, carcarefortheclueless.com. I love the name.
Thanks.
In fact, you've written some books about that too, right?
Yes, actually, I did my first booklet in 1996 because I've been doing car care classes for women since 1996. And, you know, I like to keep the classes small because when you get a larger class, some of the quieter, more shy women, they won't ask the questions that really need to be asked. And to make a long story short, I developed this book for these classes. And through the years, I've done other books like Empowered Women's Car Care Guide and things like that. But I just have heard so many horror stories. And we've tried to educate so many people. And I said, well, you know what? We're going to do it through a book. And the Car Care for the Clueless is the series title. And I have one is Successful Used Car Buying 101. It tells you actually the steps that you really need to take to buy a used car. I have a dealer's license too, so I've seen a lot of horror stories there. And first one actually, that one came out in January. And the first one actually was how Car Care for the Clueless series, of course, or how you can make money while maintaining your vehicle. And this is just a step-by-step layman's guide to how to make sure you don't get ripped off at the repair shop.
You know, that is something that I think we always think about lawyers and all these different services that we're getting ripped off on, but car care is one of those ones. If you can find somebody that you trust to work on your car, you really have a golden opportunity there.
Correct. You really do. And it's all by word of mouth. You know, you can have a great website. You can have a great Yellow Page ad, but it's all word of mouth. You ask 100 of your friends and relatives where they take their vehicle to. And then you go in and you test drive the shop, you know, go in for an oil change. See what it's like. See how the people are treated. See how they treat your car. And you're going to form an opinion. You know, your aunt might just love this one shop, and you might go in there and say, oh, no, I don't think so. It's all on personality, too. It has a lot to do with it. You have to have a great rapport with your ASC Blue Seal shop and ASC Certified Technician to be a successful, savvy car consumer.
And you know, I think car care has trained so much. Right here in Greenwood, we have Piedmont Technical College. They turn out fantastic people, car repair people, and they are just sought after they get out of school. But it used to be anybody could open a car care shop. I mean, Shade Tree Mechanics, but that's not so anymore. You've got all the computers, and it's totally changed.
You know, there's more electronics in today's vehicles than were in the Saturn V rocket going to the moon. I mean, in essence, yes, today's technicians, they are rocket scientists. It's amazing. And we're constantly doing updates and going to class and everything, and you have to keep on top of it because if you don't, forget it.
Absolutely. Now I was reading here, and it seems to me that y'all said at your shop down there, which I find totally amazing, that you like to hear the sounds that somebody says their car is making, and most places when you go there, they laugh at you.
Yeah, yes, I do, because, you know, that's actually extremely important information for the technicians so they can get an idea if it's a clunking noise or a grinding noise. I mean, we have an idea where we can look, you know, based on make and model. You know, each make and model has their little idiosyncrasies. You give us a noise, it helps a lot.
And it's not just hooking it up to the computer. And, you know, I love it when it hooks up to the computer and they go, no, you're not having any problem with there. And you're standing there going, but it's still making this noise.
Exactly. That's why it's so important that you have, you know, you write down and you tell them exactly what's going on with your vehicle. Say it's making this noise when it's first thing in the morning or after it's been driven for a while and stop and go traffic, any little notes you can write down, that's going to cut your diagnostic time down significantly. And when you do that, that's money in your wallet.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I understand that you have a radio show that you take questions. It's on the web, is that right?
Actually, it's ABC Radio The Sky. We're in Seattle, Detroit, Pittsburgh, and Boston, and of course we're on AOL Radio as well. It's every Friday at 5, live at 5, and we take
5 a.m. or 5 p.m.?
A p.m.
Thank God.
Yes. During drive time, which kind of makes it a little scary because we get so many instant messages, which is telling me that people are texting, and please never, ever, ever text and drive.
Yes, that is such a that's a conundrum right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know
exactly.
No, don't worth it. It's not worth it. I tell everybody, if you're going to send me a message, please pull over.
Yeah,
don't
exactly.
Don't do it at a stoplight. Don't do it while you're driving. You need to pay attention, which puts me over to the point that I'm a real big advocate for manual transmission vehicles, because you really have to pay attention what's going on when you're driving a stick. And
that's true. Yeah, you know, what do you think about the future? I'm just going to go off topic here a little bit. What do you think about the future of the where a driver is not needed in the car? It drives itself.
I know they're doing that now. And, you know, it's interesting. And, you know, it'd be great in some applications, maybe for mass transit, you know, the city buses or whatever.
Sure.
But, unfortunately, human beings are programming these things, and we're prone to error.
Yes.
And when we program these, we can make a mistake. So I think it's still important to have somebody sitting behind the wheel.
Well, I would like, the question that I can't get anybody to answer, Pam, is, okay, if there's an accident and there's no driver there, how do you determine whose fault it is?
Well, you know, they have cameras and everything else like that on these vehicles, and GPS and so on and so forth. So I'm sure they'll find a way around that.
Yeah.
Now, the real future, what I find absolutely fascinating, and General Motors has been working on this for a little bit now, they keep on talking about it every time we do our updates, is they're actually having the, how would you say, a modular car, meaning that you're going to purchase the engine and the chassis. And depending upon your need, you're going to lease the body from the car. So say like you're going to go on the family vacation.
Right.
You're going to go over to your dealership and say, I need a minivan body. And they're trying to get it down to about 4 hours. I think they're pretty close now because it's going to be plug and play. It's going to have to be, you know, snap
right.
All the harnesses in and everything. And 4 hours later, you pick up your vehicle. It's got a minivan body on it. So you go on your family vacation, have a great time, come back and say, you know, I don't need a minivan anymore. I want my four-door sedan back. So you go back into the dealership, and they take that off, and they put your four-door sedan body, and you lease that out, and you're driving around in a four-door sedan.
That's pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yes.
And, you know, back in the 20s and 30s, the European vehicles, they weren't quite doing that, but they were doing a lot of customizing like that. So I think, you know, nobody's actually said that, but I'm sure it's based on that model, how they used to do that back then in Europe.
But
I think that's just very cool.
Now that is cool, and of course, so you just lease the body, but you'd own the engine.
Correct.
That'd be a problem for me, Pam. I have a Mini Cooper that I think I've had 3 or 4 engines. I can't even remember now. They have had problems with the engine. It was a 2004, and evidently that was a design flaw in the engine was not properly designed for the body or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've had 3, maybe 4 engines put in that car. Yeah. So that would be a problem for me. I'd always be buying a new engine, and that's expensive.
Well, see, that's the whole concept, too, with this, is that you're going to be repairing this engine. Okay, and putting brakes on it and everything, and hopefully at the dealership where they want you to go, that, you know, it's sad because there's a ton of fabulous mom-and-pop shops out there
mm-hmm.
that really, they sit in the same classroom with the dealership techs and everything, and they just do this wonderful job. And, you know, they need to be maintaining it, but you're going to be leasing these bodies from them. So it's just going to be money back into the manufacturer.
Absolutely.
Pretty interesting concept.
It is a very interesting concept. And, of course, you know, if you want more information about Pam and what she does, you can go to carcareforthecluelesss.com. If I can keep you for just one more minute,
okay.
Give us one of the big things when you go to a shop. What should you be doing, particularly if you're clueless and you just go, I don't want to do this, but my car's not running right?
Get a second opinion.
Get a second opinion.
That's simple. You drove in there, you can drive out and go to another shop, another reputable ASC Blue Seal shop for a second opinion. There's no reason why any shop or any ASC certified technician would talk down to you, period.
Absolutely.
They are there to, they are your advocate, your automotive advocate, and that's part of their training. That's part of their job, is to help you maintain your vehicle and explain it to you the jargon that you can understand. And that your consumers out there, you need to ask. You ask a million and one questions, and the professional tech will be more than happy to answer them so you understand what's going on.
And you know, another thing, Pam, as we get cars that are aging, usually the philosophy is, oh, I need to trade it and get rid of it. You know, did you have a 1969 car you're still driving?
Yes, still driving.
I mean, how is that possible, Pam? Were the cars better then than they are today, or what do you think?
Well, I think it's all based on how you maintain it. For an example, when any little thing would go on that car, I fixed it immediately, and I fixed it with a quality part. And my other vehicles, I run them to, well, I buy them off my mom and dad. They already know that they've been maintained. And any little thing that goes wrong with them, I fix it immediately, and I fix it again with a quality part. And I easily get 200,000 miles out of them.
Wow.
And that's just by doing my oil changes when I'm supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And once a month, I go through and I top the fluid levels off and I put air in the tires. And speaking of such, this is something that everybody should be doing. You know, they have this established shop that they go to. They should be going over there once a month. Say, like, they are born on the 20th. Go on the 20th of that month, have them put air in the tires, and have them top the fluid levels off. You have a professional set of eyes looking at this vehicle. Who knows this vehicle? They see any little thing going on, they can snag it right then when it's cheap to repair instead of when it dominoes into something huge.
Well,
and that's how you keep your car for a long time.
Well, you know, we have a lot of classic cars up here, and it's always a treat to see them driving down the road. And, of course, the modern cars with all their gizmos and the stuff that you can hook in your computer or your iPod or whatever are really neat. But there is something about a classic car back in the day that was careening down the road, and you see them on the road today, and it just takes you back.
Oh, it does. You know, that old Detroit steel, it is just wonderful because that is, you know, they talk about man and the machine. That is man or woman. Man the machine. I mean, that is it. That is technology, raw technology at its best. When you see that vehicle and it has no programmable command module on it, and, you know, it doesn't have electronic ignition on it. I mean, just the raw car, the raw power itself is just wonderful. If you really think about how it all started.
Absolutely. Well, Pam Oakes, it has been an utmost pleasure to have you on the air. I hope we can call you again and have you come back on and tell us some more about some of the things that you're working with and doing. If you want more information about Pam, make sure you check out her website, carcareforthecluelesss.com. Pam Oakes, thanks so much for calling us.
And thank you for having me on, and take care, everyone.
All righty. Bye-bye, Pam.
Bye-bye.